shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
He would just tell me, this is your room number, it's under this name. I would go to my room, and he would open the
middle president
door.
Gives himself a B+, you give him a...
Yeah, well, I'm not a big grader, but
it
would be...
The front page of the New York Times today, which is sold heavily in Connecticut...
This is a great opportunity. Our state unemployment numbers...
You had a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded today?
Yeah, something like that.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch, reality too, through the looking glass each and every night here. And if you want to check out what we're really all about, and I mean, this is what we're really all about, but if you want to look at the behind the scenes, you know, what are you looking at?
Well, behind the scenes.
You don't mean that, man. Look, why don't you, when I ask for your opinion, I'll Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman with me along with Rance and Rodriguez. Behind the scenes, if they want to look at the studio.
Oh.
And you can go and look at philhendryshow.com. That's our website. That's where all of our material is archived. That is the, I guess if there was such a thing as a Phil Hendry library, you know, not that I'm, you know, but like presidential libraries, you know.
Yeah, like they got who was the guy that they opened one up for?
You mean all of the presidents?
No, but the other guy. What do you mean, man? Reagan.
He was a president, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, man.
Well, do they all have them? No.
Yes, they do. They all have them. Well, I don't know. Well, maybe they do. Anyway, yeah, so go to our website, philhendryshow.com. Our number is 877. What am I going to get sidetracked with your bull crap for? 877-876-PHIL. And so we got Tiger Woods out of our system? No. That thing, that story is going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And why? Because it's fun. Because looking at a man's life falling apart around him is fun. No, I wouldn't say that. Because we know that his life ain't falling apart around him. That's what we know. If we thought that his life was really falling apart around him, I honestly believe that we would not be as... I don't think we'd be as... I don't think we'd be just salivating over this story as much as we do. But I mean, every single solitary day, there's something new about this guy, and people are eating it up, man, like it's free candy. Mistress Tiger told me he wasn't happy at home with his wife. The guy, the sponsors are dumping his ass. His wife steps out without a wedding ring. Now she's going to divorce his worthless ass. And now he's taking a break from the PGA Tour, like he needs the money. Accenture boots him off of its team. Nike remains supportive. I'll tell you, if there was one thing that was said tonight by Margaret Gray or Doug Danger that actually did make sense of the two guests that we had, I think it was Margaret who said, in a year, the guy's back bigger and better and stronger than ever. You guys know it. I know it. Boom. There you have it. Tiger Woods losing his sponsorship, though, is at least worth hearing a couple of comments here. Bloomberg TV's Adam Johnson was on, and he was blathering on about something. This is a sponsorship loss topic here. Adam Johnson reports on how sponsors are responding to the Tiger Woods scandal.
Nike standing by their man.
Okay, thanks a lot for that. Next up, we had... No, here it is.
Nike standing by their man. Or at least that's what they're saying. That's the official word. Very different story if you start talking about some of the other companies out there. And specifically, you know, we're talking about Accenture. That was probably the biggest one. They said they are really...
And they pulled them from the website.
They
right?
pulled them from the website, yeah. And Gillette, another one. AT&T, reevaluating whether they want to maintain the relationship with Tiger Woods.
You know what I would do if I was Tiger Woods, seriously?
What?
I would keep these guys in mind, because the day is going to come when he is rehabilitated in the public mind. All he has to do is go out and kick some ass on the golf course. That's all he's got to do. That's all he has to do. He'll kick a little bit of ass out on the golf course. He'll win some big tournament, maybe not one of the majors. He'll start out small. He'll go over to Hawaii. He'll just smoke the whole field over there. And then they'll interview him. Tough year, huh, Tiger? You know, because those sports reporters, you know, those guys haven't got any guts. That's where their money is. They're not going to ask him a tough question. So they're going to say something like, really tough year, huh, Tiger? Yeah, it's been a really tough year. But, you know, you look like you're really, well, you know, I came back. I made a lot of mistakes with my life, and I'm just trying to get my life together. That's all it's going to take. And then if I was Tiger Woods, when Accenture comes back, you know, Tiger, I'd tell them to take a flying freaking leap, man. As my old man used to say, take a flying finienza, which is Italian for...
Better not say it.
I'm not gonna. United Press International asks passersby if they've ever heard of Tiger Woods, and if they have, if they think sponsors who are dropping or thinking about dropping Woods are making the right decision, and do you understand the question?
Well, as an advertiser, you really have to watch out for the image of your brand. I think Tiger Woods' image right now has a lot less value than it did 2 weeks ago.
Not really, no. I mean, everybody makes mistakes.
Well, some of them are. Depends what the advertising is. Well, I noticed that Accenture cut it off this morning.
Cut what off?
They're into kind of consulting and personal things. But Nike, for instance, is in sports. And there's no reason to cut Tiger out of sports.
On Friday, Mr. Woods announced on his website he would take an indefinite break from professional golf because he was sick to death of the whole game, couldn't stand it any longer. And since he had 11 girlfriends and plenty of time on his hands, he said he was going to focus on his family. There ain't no family to focus on now, brah, because it looks like she's taking a walk with the kids. And as she's walking out the door, Tiger said,
I hate Jews.
Now, I'm kidding.
She's Jewish?
No, she's Swedish. But that move wasn't enough to hold Accenture, whose brand is among the most closely associated with Mr. Woods' image. Accenture executives started evaluating its sponsorship of Mr. Woods immediately when the news broke, according to people familiar with the matter. Late Friday, the consulting firm had removed the golfer's image from a page on its website. On Sunday, the company issued a statement saying the relationship with Mr. Woods was over. We wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. We can't believe he's done the things he's done. Thank you and good night, they said. In an email Sunday evening, Mark Steinberg, an agent for Mr. Woods, acknowledged the fact that Mr. Woods had said,
I hate Jews.
But it didn't count him. I'm kidding. He never said that.
You better watch it about that and everything.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, bud. Mr. Steinberg, an agent for Mr. Woods, acknowledged Accenture's decision. We're disappointed, but we respect their decision. That basically means, you bastards, there will be a day of reckoning. Mr. Woods' other sponsors include Procter & Gamble, Gillette. You know, Margaret also made another good point. In fact, Margaret made two good points, which is now two good points for the whole year.
Yeah, that's about as much as she made in 3 years.
Anyway, she said that, look at Imus. Look at Don Imus. Don said the whole nappy head thing. This cat is back bigger and better than ever, man. He's got his own gig back there on, where is he now, on Fox Business Network? He don't need CNBC or whatever that thing, MSNBC. He's on something that people actually watch, I guess. He's got, what do you want to bet those sponsors that he's got? As a matter of fact, why don't you get on the phone there, bud, and find out of the sponsors that Don Imus, that dropped his show, okay?
Yeah.
Find out who's back sponsoring his show now. I got money that says some of the same people.
Okay, now say that again.
Never mind. Help him out, will you?
All right.
Mr. Woods' other sponsors include Procter & Gamble, Gillette, Nike, and AT&T. Some of those big marketers are also assessing their relationship with the golfer, who rakes in about $90 million annually in sponsorship fees. Rakes it in. Isn't that a little bit of editorializing there? Gillette said Saturday it was limiting Mr. Woods' role in its marketing programs, becoming the first major sponsor to publicly sideline the golfer from its advertising after he decided to put his career on hold. Aha! That's why they're sidelining him, not because he had an affair or 11 affairs. It's because he's decided to put his career on hold. He's going off of the golf tour. And Gillette is saying, well, what the hell do we need your ass for? How are we going to be, what, are we going to pay you to sit on your ass? Uh-uh. No, 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 no. Of all of Mr. Woods' sponsors, Accenture's brand may have had the most vulnerability to the publicity crisis. Marketing experts have said Mr. Woods was the centerpiece of the company's business-to-business ad campaign. All right, they'll live. They'll live. They'll live to fight another day. All it is an advertising budget, you know. And frankly, they're going to save money with their ad budget. They'll probably find somebody just as good, some football player maybe. Well, yeah. And probably save a hell of a lot of money on it. In the meantime, Tiger Woods told me he wasn't happy at home with his wife, so said a mistress. Her name, Corey Rist, another woman claiming to have had an affair with Tiger Woods, and she can prove it. She's breaking her silence because everybody else broke their silence about her alleged 2.5-year fling with a golfer on the Today Show after she saw a bunch of other, quote, whores, end of quote, getting their time in the sun. Miss Rist said, why can't I me there be? I want me do that. And her agent said, sure, baby. So they hooked her up with the Today Show, which never met a scumbag they didn't like. And I'm Joe. I'm not calling her a scumbag. I'm just,
Willard Scott.
Yeah, Willard Scott. No. So anyway, after she met Woods, aged 33, at a New York City nightclub in 2006, when a man claiming to be the golfer's trainer invited her and her friends to join Woods for a drink. How do you like that? How'd you like to be so rich, so wealthy, that not only do you fly chartered jets, not only do you have a house with a gate, not only do you have a personal assistant or two, not only, you know, not only do you have like an appointment secretary, but dudes go and pick chicks up for you.
Man, that is living.
I'm telling you. Well, they don't even have to pick them up. They go, "Hi, Mr. Woods." Is, "Yeah, I'll be right there." That's about as tough as it takes. You know, that's about as hard as it, it's about as tough as it. I don't want to go any further with this because I might actually say something bad. Here is, I believe, Tiger Woods' Corey Wrist on the Today Show. Yes. And she's talking about Tiger and what a suave, debonair guy he is.
He would just tell me, "This is your room number. It's under this name." I would go to my room. Then he would open the middle door, and we then had two rooms.
That was August of 2006 in Atlanta. The one
time now she has AIDS.
Food with Tiger Woods on the road.
I'm sorry.
He was good. He had people doing things for him.
He was good.
A lot of people would book his itineraries for myself. It was under an alias name.
Wrist apologizes to the wife, Ellen Yesher.
He would just tell me, "This is your room number. It's under..."
Wait a minute. Here she is apologize. I apologize for not playing the apology.
She admits she knew Woods was married, but says he insisted his relationship with wife, Elin, was on the rocks.
That he was not happy at home with his wife. That he would stay there because she was pregnant and they were expecting their first child. And, you know, because of his reputation and the image that he had to uphold that. I'm just sorry for her pain. You know, I hate that I'm a part of it. I feel like I have to take responsibility for the things I've done, and one day I'm going to have to look my son in the face and explain all this. So I'm very sorry.
And your son will say,
"Burn in hell."
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show coming up here in this hour of truth and revival and basically non-guest hour, bud.
Yeah, we should call it the hour of truth.
Yeah. Rural Illinois prison to get some Gitmo detainees. Wait till you hear Dick Durbin here as he weighs in on how this is a great idea and they really need jobs, and I guess the stimulus ain't doing it. Not that I'm against the stimulus package, but if I'm a Democratic senator, I would be there saying, "Hey, you know, things are really good and this will make it a lot better." But he doesn't. He stands there and says, "Boy, do we really need the jobs, so we better build a supermax prison." And the whole thing just stinks, man. 877, and then later he played
crotch grab
with one of his assistants. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil, our website, philhenryshow.com. What?
Yeah, do the on a pajama because you sleep nude.
The what?
Pajamagram.
Oh, I'll do pajamagram. What do you mean because I sleep nude?
Yeah, you should do it because you're nude. When you sleep, you're nude.
What, A, what business is it of yours? B, why do you tell the audience that? And C, yes, I'll do pajamagram because they're a great sponsor of ours.
But I'm saying, yeah, I'll order some.
Oh, okay, bud. Well, whatever. You know, what, do you want to sleep with me or something?
And you go, "Yeah, sure."
Well, then forget about whether I sleep nude or not. And it's none of your business or anybody. Anyway, Pajamagram is a great gift. Guys, listen to me. These are a great sponsor of ours, the folks at Pajamagram, because Christmas is coming up. But you know something else? Do you have a girlfriend, you got a wife, a mother, or anybody in your life who has a birthday? My sister's birthday falls around Christmas. You know what? It's, you know, that sucks, because when your birthday is around Christmas time, you don't get really cool presents. You got to give her something special, you know? Here is something beautiful. It's called Pajamagram. Comfy and sexy, practical and personal pajamas that are delivered right to her door. You can find all the best pajamas on pajamagram.com. Go on over there and take a look at the selection. You'll find all the top brands of pajamas and lingerie. Every pajamagram is delivered in a beautiful hat box that she's going to love, along with a lavender-scented sachet and a do not disturb sign and a personalized gift message from you. You, man. Now, I'm laying it on you here. This is the thing you ought to do. It's Pajamagram. Check them out. Their website is www.pajamagram.com. This is a great thing to get for the little lady. And ladies, something good to get for your man. Okay? Pajamagram.com.
All right, wrap it up.
And I, don't tell me to wrap it up.
You'll do it, man.
Wrap it up.
You're going way over.
877-876-PHIL, rural Illinois. Now that we've talked about Pajamagram, let's get to something sexy and comfortable like prisons. Rural Illinois prison to get some Gitmo detainees. I still don't understand it, and maybe I'm the dumbest guy that ever walked the face of the earth, which I would not doubt at all. Honest to God.
That ever walked the face of the earth? Yeah, sure. You can't be the dumbest guy.
Well, I don't know. If I don't understand what it is about Gitmo that is so evil, I must be stupid, because now they've stopped even explaining. It's like global warming. You know, they don't even want to explain it anymore. So, no, it's just, it's taken as fact. Taken, what are you talking about, man? I've never heard of a bigger waste of time and energy and money. Now, the interesting thing, though, is that, and here again is, I believe, and there's a lot of people that don't agree with me, and that's fine. You don't have to agree with me. I don't believe for a second that Obama, honest to God, I don't think Obama gives a crap whether Gitmo is closed or not. I think there are just enough people in the Democratic Party and in the, what do you call it, shall we say the liberal branch of the Democratic Party that can put just enough heat on him to make life uncomfortable. So he's got to, oh yeah, yeah, sure, I'm going to close Gitmo. He's every now and again got to come up with something that makes him feel good, you know, warm and fuzzy. And Gitmo's one of these. I do believe he is very much in favor of health care, and that's, you know, that's, people are going to debate that. And I do believe that he's very much in favor of the, you know, public option. People are going to debate that. No, I don't think the cat wanted to buy GM or have the government take it over. To hang that one on Obama makes me laugh. I mean, you got to really be, I think you've got to be working with some, you know, you need a better personal trainer or something, because that just ain't where it's at. That's something that was in the works, and we could have seen that coming a mile off long before anybody ever knew who Barack Obama was. You knew that was going to happen. My whole life, as long as I've been alive, there have been strikes at the GM and the mortar plants in Detroit. Ever since the 60s, there have been problems. The unions have had a problem. The this has had a problem. The that's had a problem. The layoffs of this, the Japanese cars, that. Ever since the big gas crunches of the 70s and the American automaker couldn't get his act together for love or money if you put a gun to his head. And the big excuse, the government, because of the restrictions on pollution. There wasn't a, like we've often said on the show, there wasn't a man among them. Not a man, to quote Buddy Rich as he was chewing out his band on the bus that time.
That's the bitchinest tape that I ever heard.
One of these days, we're going to have to play that tape and beep it. Buddy Rich ripping into his band. There's not a man among you that can go out and play the job like a man. I think they finally got into the union. Anyway, so Dick Durbin was there, and he was telling people what a groovy-ass thing this is going to be, man, opening up a prison there in Illinois, because guess what? They need the gigs.
Part of the decision on closing Guantanamo is to decide where to transfer the remaining detainees. We estimate there'll be fewer than 100 that will be ultimately transferred out of Guantanamo. The president came forward and asked Governor Quinn and myself whether our home state of Illinois would accept that responsibility. We have looked at it carefully and closely, and we have done it with the understanding that time and again, the people of our state of Illinois have risen to the challenge to serve this nation. We do it every day. Our men and women enlist in the military and risk their lives for this great nation. Time and again, we've done that. Illinois was the first state in the nation to build a federal supermax prison in Marion. We've done that before, and we're doing it again. We believe this is in service to our country, to make certain that Guantanamo is phased out and the threat that it currently poses to us around the world is eliminated.
What is he talking? Nobody can explain that. And don't give me this crap about how the threat it currently poses, because it makes the, Al-Qaeda. You know, you got to be some kind of a simpleton to think that, aha, that's why Al-Qaeda's pissed off, because of Guantanamo. If we just get rid of that, then they won't have a recruiting tool. Are you kidding me or something? All right, anyway, here is Durbin saying that this is a great way to turn jobs, to get the jobs going there in Illinois.
This is a great opportunity.
Next, he says, no, here he is.
This is a great opportunity. Our state unemployment numbers, the most recent ones, were 11%.
Sucks.
And in some parts of the state, like northwestern Illinois, even higher.
Guess the stimulus don't work.
People are desperate for good jobs. And the jobs
stimulus
we're talking
money.
About here are some of the best. over 3,000 new employees in this area, half of them from local people who will be getting jobs with good paychecks and good benefit packages. These are jobs that you can use to build a family, build a neighborhood, build a town and a community.
And a prison.
And that's what we need desperately.
Yeah, you need it desperately because I guess the stimulus bread that, okay. 877-876-PHIL. I believe the stimulus has helped a lot of communities. It ain't helping Durbin. It may be even helping Illinois. It just ain't helping Durbin deliver a speech. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yeah.
Burning help.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, something like that.
I asked you for the list, didn't I?
Yes.
I want to know, maybe I'll just have to ask Jason for it. I want to know the name. You think I'm just going to let this sit? I'm not going to let it sit. I'm going to prove the point that I'm making about Woods. I want to see a list of the sponsors that Don Imus had when they dropped him because of the whole nappy-headed thing. And then I want to see a list of the sponsors that he's got today. Years after that whole thing went down, years after the whole thing about him just being a douchebag and you'll never work in this town again, and I've got money that says that Imus is back, baby. Bigger, better, badder, butcher, and bitchiner than ever before.
So I watched the basketball game last night.
Right. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous, not to be confused with other world-famous radio shows, Phil Hendry Show. Did asking for orange juice get a man in trouble? Well, this is the story from Buffalo, New York, according to WTVB Radio, or is it WIVB Radio? Well, it's Lindsay Schwarzenwalder, and in Buffalo, you can keep your real name because people think it sounds glamorous. Anyway, kidding around. One American Airlines passenger says he fell victim to a flight attendant's bad attitude, and now he's paying the price all over a request for orange juice. Now, this is going to be a story about yet another airline that sucks, and why I say that. Not because they suck, but because a flight attendant or some service. The reason why I say that is one of these days we're going to have to do a story on airlines that are really just slamming good. You know, just great service, good times, right? Like Virgin. Virgin kicks ass. Air New Zealand kicks ass.
Southwest kicks ass.
What are you talking about, man? Southwest is fine. Anyway, so John Reed received a federal warning. Get a load of this. He received a federal warning. That's in capital letters. He got an FW, man. For his alleged behavior on flight 614 from Sacramento to Dallas. That's Dallas. On September the 6th, he's accused of threatening, intimidating, and or interfering with a flight. And Reed says, quote, "All I did was ask for a glass of orange juice." Now, apparently Reed, who was sitting in first class, asked the question during breakfast, but said he got more than just OJ from one of the flight attendants. Let's listen to this man's story. His name is John Reed. And
he formed the Communist Party, too, which you should tell people.
Are you an idiot or something?
What are you talking about, man? John Reed.
That John Reed lived way, way back.
Oh.
John Reed. God, what a jackass. John Reed tells Fox News this morning what led to the federal warning he got from this flight attendant.
"I asked for a glass of orange juice, and I just overheard some of the other passengers complaining about her. And when I asked about the glass of orange juice, she then scolded me for the next minute, saying it was an inappropriate time for me to ask for a glass of orange juice."
Oh, man.
"The passenger next to me and I just sat there stunned. When she came back later to get the breakfast tray, she made a smirk towards me, and it just prompted me to say, all I did was ask for a glass of orange juice." Yeah. "This prompted her to launch into an even louder tirade against me, which ended with her saying, have you even been in first class before?" I told her that I thought that question was inappropriate and added that a couple other passengers said that she had made inappropriate comments to them.
Okay.
This got her so angry, she stormed on the aisle and apparently told the pilot that I was being a threatening and abusive passenger.
All right, now right away I hear something wrong. There's something wrong. I'm not getting the whole story. He said, "I heard the other passengers complaining about her, and then I asked..."
What do you think?
I think maybe he was trying to bug her. You know, maybe he didn't just ask for a glass of orange juice. Maybe he heard the other passengers complaining about her and decided that he'd see if he could piss her off by asking for something that he already knew, having listened to the other passengers about them complaining, would piss her off. I don't think we're getting the whole story. Anyway, here is Steve Ducey. Now I know we're not going to get the whole story because here's Steve Ducey. He talks to two passengers on the plane about the behavior of Reed and the flight attendant.
You guys saw this all happen. Her written warning said that he was either threatening, intimidating, or interfering with a crew member, which is, of course, against the law. Christy, was he doing any of that stuff?
He was so quiet that I was sitting in the seat behind him, and I couldn't even hear him speak. So absolutely not.
David, what do you think was going on with this flight attendant?
I'm not sure. I don't know if she was just having a bad day or if it was something else.
Really? After that incident with Mr. Reed, she spent the rest of the flight trying to get passengers on board to do what?
Well, she wanted them to be a witness to what happened because I think she wanted them on her side. But, you know, we all supported John because we actually saw what happened there and we knew that he hadn't done anything wrong.
Now, all he asked was,
what's a gay what?
And she got upset. So anyway, I'm telling you, there's more to this story than meets Ducey's eye. The flight attendant then asked him if it was his first time in first class. You heard that whole story. Now, Dave Koss was sitting near Reed. Koss explained after he said she was being condescending, she exploded. I'll bet you she did explode, but that was probably after he kept bugging her with questions, you know, such as,
what's a gay what?
And then after she didn't get the orange juice.
You blow it!
And all kinds of. So anyway, the flight attendant Koss blogged about the experience. The tension was, how do they know he blogged about it? There's something ain't right here. So he goes on and he blogs about it. The tension was pretty high and we thought we just wanted to get off the plane, said Koss. But the orange juice incident was far from over. She then asked Reed to come up to the front galley for a private conversation near the cockpit. At that particular time, she offered him sex. No, I'm kidding. He said he refused to go up there to talk to her. A couple of minutes later, he was handed a warning. Reed said, at first I thought it was a joke. At first I thought, you can't be serious. But it was. Representatives from the airline were waiting at the gate when the plane landed. Koss and at least five other passengers stayed behind to stand up for Reed. We all wanted to help him out and just be a witness for him so that he didn't get into any trouble, said Koss. But then I had a flight to make and my wife was there and, well, you know how it is. Reed said, for the next several months, I'm going to get on flights wondering, am I being flagged? Is this particular flight attendant going to be on that flight? For him? Well, I got an idea for you, pal. Don't fly American.
Yeah, he's not even smart enough to do that.
Don't fly American, you idiot. Why would you go back on that airline?
Well, it's the only flight that goes to the city that I want.
Oh, horse dung. Fly horse dung airways. They go, all the great western cities. But it was. Representatives for the airlines were waiting at the gate when the plane landed. Reed said, for the next several months, I'm going to be all upset. For him, an apology during the flight would have been enough to forget about the experience, but now he wants the flight attendant to be reassigned and retrained in customer service. And all the better, have her fired and out in the street. As you heard, John Reed had about five passengers stand up for him once the plane landed, but when the flight attendant went up and down the aisle looking for witnesses to back her up, no one came to her defense. American Airlines did not comment, but a spokesman says the company is investigating. How about that? Boy, passengers and flight attendants. Flight attendants and passengers. If they're not fighting with each other, they're getting married. So that's a story we'll be looking at, man.
Think about it. A flight attendant, and they got to deal with a lot of people.
That's my point. They do have to deal with a lot of people. You're right.
And are they supposed to have a big happy face every day?
Well, I don't know if that's not a happy face that they're supposed to. Look, if you're dealing with people every day, like you can't. One of the things, almost like being like a parent, you know, they say parents should not punish based upon how they're feeling. Parents should punish based upon the actions of the child, right? So every professional...
Huh? Yeah, what does that mean?
Never mind, man. Every professional... forget I brought it up. Every professional has to keep their job in mind first and their personal feelings second. So if you're a cop, you don't bring your personal life into it. You don't start getting all personally involved in things and getting worked up emotionally about stuff. You hear cops, good cops say that all the time. They say, this is the job. Same thing with a flight attendant. Job. You got to be sit there. And if somebody's a real douchebag. Now, I know this isn't my imagination. I was flying once on the old TWA Airlines. Maybe this is why it's the old TWA Airlines. They don't exist anymore because I was going up to Minneapolis from Miami. at that time, I had a girlfriend in Minneapolis, and I was going to visit her. And
don't you ever have a girlfriend that lives in the same town?
Yeah, what's that about, man? You told me one time you fly to Portland, and you get another place? Hey, man, I'm in radio. You know, what can I tell you? So anyway, the guy comes by with a drink cart, and he passes me by. Now, he was saying to everybody, would you like a drink? 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 Except for me. He went right by my aisle, or right by my row. Well, I thought, well, it's easy to make a mistake like that, I'm sure. You know, back and forth, you know how those guys are. So when he was coming back down, I said, oh, excuse me, I'd like a drink. You didn't ask me. And he said to me, we don't read minds, sir. Right? And I said, well, you dirty homosexual. No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. I didn't say anything. I went, wow. And he still didn't give me my drink. So that was a point. I remember thinking, you know, that job, it's a tough job to do. And you got to deal with a lot of jackballs. But I have to say this in all honesty. If you can't do the job, then don't do it. Do something else. It's as simple as that, man. I ain't on here every night saying, anyways, you could do something else. I'm going to go do a talk show every night. I dig what I do. There are nights when I don't do it very well. There are nights when I do it. There are nights when I do it really well.
Oh, crap.
And there are nights when I, anyway, so... But I like my job, and I try to give my audience the very best that I have. And if I let down, I try to work even harder the next day. But one thing I don't do is come on here and get all bitchy and pissy about the gig I got to do, man. You know, I consider myself to be the happiest guy, the luckiest man in the human.
Oh, you're fake.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back in a world-famous Phil Henry show. We have the stories that we couldn't get to and other news, so stick around. And, oh, yeah, I think we'll play the Pogues tonight. We always play the Pogues just before Christmas.
I love that song.
Yeah, you play that one that about Christmas. Yeah, that's the song, man.
What, you an idiot?
We're going to play the Pogues Fairy Tale in New York, too, when we come back. Phil Henry show.
Phil Henry.
About Christmas. What do you think it's about? I don't know, Halloween.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Every night you can watch us live on video on our website, philhenryshow.com. So you can see the show, listen to the show, check out our affiliate list. We've got affiliates all over the planet Earth. You can check us out there, check us out here. Just check it out, philhenryshow.com. Coming up Friday night, a very special edition of Crime Night, because, as you know, the Christmas holidays are upon us. It's been a very kind of squirrely time of year. And you know. So anyway, we're going to have Dr. Michael Stone from Investigation Discovery's Most Evil with us on this coming Friday night. And we're going to cover the top 10 worst crimes of the year. And with Dr. Stone, you know it is always having something to do with serial murderers, psychotic, psychopathic. In other words, it's lots of fun. It's Crime Night. Stories we couldn't get to just ahead of the Pogues and the Fairy Tale of New York, our traditional Christmas song that we play about 50 million times before Christmas. Time now for our stories we couldn't get to. Every so often in the Washington Metro subway station, a foot gets caught in an escalator. Usually the culprit is a shoelace or a flip-flop, but on Monday it was a bird's talon, bird's claw. D.C. Fire Department spokesman Pete Pieringer says rescuers were called to the Benning Road Station in northeast Washington shortly after 8 a.m. on Monday. A large bird of prey, possibly a hawk or a falcon, had its foot stuck in the escalator. Poor little birdie, Metro employees shut off the power and a passerby held the bird to keep it from injuring itself. When firefighters arrived, they removed a portion of the escalator to free the bird. That, what does that tell you about the human race, huh? We shut down an entire thing to save a bird. Someone should get fired for that. I'm kidding.
A little bird.
I'm kidding, man. Pieringer says that despite a slightly injured foot, the bird flew to the top of a nearby gas station where it sat for a while before continuing on its way, flipping the bird all the, huh? Okay. New York City Health Department has released a nauseating video in an effort to prevent people from drinking sugary beverages. The video was posted Monday on YouTube. A man opens a soda can and pours the liquid into a glass. It's actually a mess of goop made to look like fat. When he swills the disgusting-looking substance, he ends up with globs on his face. The message, drinking just one can of soda a day can add up to 10 pounds of weight. in a year. However, people were complaining about the globs on his face. Health Commissioner Thomas Farley says sugary drinks are a large part of the obesity epidemic. What are you people talking about, globs on someone's face? We're trying to help people. And people were saying, well, your commercial sucks. To avoid pouring on the pounds, the health department urges people to drink water or other non-calorie drinks. Good idea, good idea. A high school diploma at 15 and a bachelor's degree at 16. Precocious teenager Marianne Kogler has now become Austria's youngest master's graduate at the age of 17. Oh, this kid's going to be treated like a freak.
Yeah, every time these people, hi, I graduated from college, I'm six.
Oh, God, it's those poor children. Vienna's University of Technology announced on Monday that the young man had completed his master's degree in computational intelligence. He also holds a bachelor's degree in software, and yet he doesn't know how to wipe himself in the bathroom. All right. No, he, of course he does, and he's done some great things. He holds a bachelor's degree, blah, blah. He's the son of a writer and administrative. All right, so he's way smarter than the rest of us. That's what I think he is. And he's writing for The Simpsons. Now, a California man said his son incurred nearly $22,000 in data usage charges during a single month on his Verizon cell phone plan. Ha ha! Oh, it serves you right, man. Ted Estrella of Hayward said his monthly cell phone bill is usually $93, but the total shot up to $21,000 this month after he added his son, who lives with his mother in Fremont, to his plan in Oakland, California. Nice going, Pops. Estrella said he signed his son up for only phone and text service, causing a $199 charge to be added to the bill for each megabyte of data transferred. Verizon officials said YouTube and other streaming video sites are often the culprits behind inflated bills due to the amount of data transfer involved. Estrella, and also the fact that you bloodsuckers at Verizon, man, you charge people for turning their phone on, you charge them for turning it off, you charge them for not having a phone. Estorijo, who's been unemployed since losing his job as an accountant in October. That was really bright, putting your son on that pay plan. In any event, that's news we couldn't get to here on this beautiful, 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 beautiful night here in America. Here are the Pogues. Good night. Merry Christmas, y'all.
It was Christmas Eve, babe.
Show produced by Jason Rance.
In the drunk tank.
One of our bits tonight written by Jason Rance. Technical direction, Ralph Rodriguez.
Won't say another one.
The Doug Denger bit was written by Jason Rance.
And then he sang a song.
Everybody sing now, sing.
The rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one. Came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas. I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drunks we were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
That bed.
You scumbag, you maggot, cheek cheek, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're all sad. Thank God it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD choir still singing Galway Bay. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
Back.
could have been someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
Bill Hendricks.